So really everything is what I'm juggling. I think the one thing to think about is my role isn't really existent in the sports industry, especially on the football side. Most athletes, most football players don't have managers. You know, they have their agents, they have their marketing agents, they have their client service reps that come with the agency sometimes, but most don't have someone who sits in my role. And so really my role is to, you know, kind of be the head of like all of these people and just figure out like whatever is needed for, you know, them to execute their job, whatever is needed from Bijan, you know, on his side. All things you can think of is my job.
Are excited to welcome a woman who wears many hats, but one we will particularly focus on today is the role of Bijan Robinson's manager. Welcome, Clarissa.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
Clear reps.
One of my favorite things that I've seen just in videos of you two interacting is if Bijan labels you the coolest person he's ever met, how does that
The coolest person, so that's a compliment coming from him.
That is a compliment coming from him.
Big compliment. He's pretty cool.
What was it like with the two of you growing up?
To be honest, we used to fight so much. So I'm only 9 years older than him, so we're more like brother and sister, and then aunt and nephew. We could not stand each other. Like, we were always bickering at one another, always fighting, just like siblings. And it really changed, you know, as we started to grow up and like had so much in common and, you know, could really relate on so many things. That's when the relationship really started to change, and just never knew that we would be like living our lives together as we are now. And I'm just so honored and privileged to be a part of like his walk in this, you know, amazing industry and the things that he loves to do. But growing up, we hated each other. We were neck and neck all the time.
Now you're the coolest person ever.
Coolest. Look, I'll work it out.
Awesome.
2020, really a monumental year. And I listened to that sweet, sweet message that you shared, as he was being drafted. What was that moment like? Was it sort of full circle? Did you think you would be in that position?
Never. Never. I think, you know, growing up, and you know, Bijan's been good at football since he came out the womb. Like, from the first time he got on the field, he did run the wrong direction to the wrong end zone. But after that, like, he's been the football player that we see now. Like, he's always been really good. So, you know, it's always in your back of your head, like, you know, oh my God, he's really good. He can maybe do this for a career. He could maybe be professional one day. Like, it's always in the back of your head, but it's never really been the focus of like, we got to get him there. We got to do this. We got to make sure, you know, it's just been like, let God lead your life, and wherever you end up is where you end up. And so to be at the draft and to see like his dreams actually coming true, and to know that he made it there, and so many roadblocks, you know, throughout his life that could have stopped him from getting there, but like God saw him fit to actually get to that stage and, you know, accomplish the goal that he's wanted since he was a little kid. It was just such a proud moment. Just so exciting. Like, you get to do this. Like, even sometimes now, like, I'll be at his house and I'll be like, all right, I gotta go home because I got work tomorrow. And I'm like, wow, his work tomorrow is he gets to go play football. And how fun is that? Like, how cool is that? You gotta show up to work tomorrow and you get to play football, like something that you actually love. So it was just such a proud moment, and I will never forget. I get emotional every time I think about it, just because I was just so happy to see like you prayed for this, you did the right thing to get here, and now you're here. So let's celebrate.
I think so many people don't understand what truly goes on behind the scenes in the day-to-day, you know, activities in life of
Uh-oh.
someone in your position, being
She
a
froze me.
manager for a professional athlete. I've been with you. I've seen the left, the right, the up, the down, the circles. Give us a little bit of insight into everything that you're juggling.
Yeah. So really everything is what I'm juggling. I think the one thing to think about is my role isn't really existent in the sports industry, especially on the football side. Most athletes, most football players don't have managers. You know, they have their agents, they have their marketing agents, they have their client service reps that come with the agency sometimes, but most don't have someone who sits in my role. And so really my role is to, you know, kind of be the head of like all of these people and just figure out like whatever is needed for, you know, them to execute their job, whatever is needed from Bijan, you know, on his side, all things you can think of is my job. It was definitely, you know, there was a learning curve starting out. The way I got into this position is, you know, I was working in retail. I had a career in retail management for over 15 years. And I was living in LA before he decided to go to Austin. And he asked me, he was like, come to Austin with me. And I was kind of like, oh, like, I really like my life in LA. But I was like, what the heck? I've never been to Austin before. And there was also some other things that I felt like God was like really calling me to that city. Never in a million years would have thought that I'd be in this position or thought that even I would be working alongside him. Even before I got there, my prayer to God was like, okay, God, I'm going to go to Austin, but I'm not going to Austin for Bijan. Like I need you to make sure that there's something there for me. Like I need to know what my lane is. And God's like, joke's on you. You're actually going there.
Going to Atlanta.
Who knows where we're going after that? But it's something that I don't take for granted. And, you know, it's so special to walk alongside him in his career. And also he makes it easy. He doesn't, one day he asked me, he was like, how would you feel if I was like super high maintenance and just asked you for all these things all the time? And I was like, well, I'm glad you're not. So let's just not think about it. But, you know, his faith is such like the foundation of who he is. And so, and he leads with that in everything that he does. He, you know, tries to show up as the best businessman that he could be. He tries to show up as the best role model that he can be. And it really, really makes my job easy because, you know, I can just keep the main thing and the main thing and focus on, you know, the most important things versus focusing on helping him, you know, have his head on straight because he has it. He's got it. He's doing really good.
He absolutely has. And I mean, aside from his extreme, you know, athletic success, he always seems to fall back on those values that you just said and what is really important in that and following God's path. And thus the Bijan Robinson Foundation was formed. That was also a super monumental moment. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. You know, my mom tells this story often when Bijan, I want to say he was maybe like 7, 8, like my mom had given him a $5 bill to go in the grocery store and or to go into the like little convenience store. And she was sitting out in the car waiting for him to come out. And when he came out, he didn't have anything. And he gave the $5 bill to a homeless guy that was sitting outside of the convenience store. And my mom was like, where's your stuff? You know, where? And he was like, oh, I didn't get anything. He was like, I gave that $5 bill to that homeless guy. And that has been Bijan's character since he was a kid. Like, he's just such a loving, giving individual that it's just in his nature. If he sees someone that's in need and he sees that he can help someone or even just put a smile on somebody's face, he's going to go the extra mile to do that. And so, you know, when he got to college and, you know, thank God NIL was successful and he had a little change in his pocket, he wanted to make sure that he was really focusing on how he could give back. You know, he had all of a sudden been making money. You know, he's never really had a job. So now he's making this money, but it's always been very important to him. Like, how can I give back? What can I do with my influence? How can I bring attention to causes that are really important to me? And so he was doing that before we even really thought of a foundation. It wasn't until Capture Sports was like, okay, let's actually, you know, make this thing official. But before that, it was just in him. It was who he was. He was in the city of Austin and, you know, they were so hospitable to him and he wanted to make sure that he was, you know, really leaving a mark on the city and giving back to them the, you know, the love that they gave to him. And so he found ways to do that before even starting a foundation. And now that he has it and we have our pillars and we're starting to really dig deep into like the things that he loves and really wants to get into, he's excited for the opportunities to expand, you know, into Atlanta, even go back home to Arizona and just really use his platform, you know, and really wants to glorify God and make sure that he's doing, you know, the absolute best to make sure he's doing good with his platform.
That's awesome. I go back to often, like how ironic that his name means hero. Oh, wait, I froze. I go back to a lot of how ironic it is that his name is hero or that his name means hero. You know, like to see it, you know, he's not full circle yet. He hasn't lived his whole life, but to see what he's done with his life thus far, but yet that's the reason his mom named him that.
Yeah, 100%. I think we always grew up knowing that, like, you know, your name really defines who you are. And we, you know, my mom always taught my sister, you know, with all of her kids, like, make sure you're choosing a name and make sure you're choosing something that you really want to represent your child. You want your child to grow up to be, because what people call your child, you know, is has a lot of influence on who they are as they grow up. And my sister had heard the name and loved the name. But once she heard the meaning of it, she was like, oh, yes, this is my son's name. So kudos to her for naming him that. But also, you know, as we were really getting into NIL and as he was really starting to think through, like, what kind of brand would he have attached to himself aside from what he does on the field? I was really, really sitting with that hero word for a very long time. Like, Bijan is so humble. He would never, ever, ever call himself a hero. And nor would we, you know, say like, hey, call yourself a hero. But it was just like, how can we really use his name, you know, to make sure that we're attaching that to his brand, because it really is who he is. And in everything that he does, he submits the big H hero, which is God. And he wants to make sure that he's living out, you know, his life in the way that God saw fit. And also making sure that he's using his platform to bring people back to God. And so that hero word, we really just tried to, you know, impress on people, like, we're all heroes, you know. We submit to the big H hero God, but we also have a little H hero in ourselves that we can pull out. And there's so many different ways on a day-to-day basis that we can make an impact in this world if we're letting the big H hero God lead our lives. So he's really just made that his mission. And he's excited as his career goes along for more opportunities to, you know, continue to do that.
I love the big H.
Big H.
Yeah.
Big H.
Spoke on faith, obviously, but also homelessness and youth are the other two pillars of his foundation. And why are those significant?
Yeah, you know, that story, you know, leading back to when he gave that homeless man that $5 bill is who he is. You know, he just has such a heart for people, you know, that get overlooked. And not everyone is, you know, stopping to say hello or, you know, give a hug, you know, and put a smile on someone's faces. You know, when we were out in Austin and we started doing some work with Mobile Loaves and Fishes, you know, he really got to see so much talent and purpose in some of the community that in the neighbors out that were formerly homeless and now live in this beautiful community out at Community First Village. He was just blown away by like the talent that you know, the artwork that they did and all of the skills that, you know, just had gone kind of unfostered, but were still inside of them. And when given the right platform and, you know, the right environment, they were able to really flourish and really exercise their purpose in so many ways. And when he saw that, his heart just goes out to them so much because, you know, for so many reasons, people end up on the street. There's no reason to judge. You know, some people say it's their fault. Some people, you know, it's not their fault. There's no reason to judge or even speculate what the reason is. Everyone deserves a chance. And so when he saw what Community First Village was doing out there, he was like, I want to be a part of this. And so that's how homelessness became one of his pillars. And then with children, you know, it's just, he's always, you know, he has five siblings. two younger sisters and one younger brother, one older brother. But also at the University of Texas and also just growing up in Arizona, so many younger children have really looked up to him. And he was once that younger Pop Warner player who was looking up to, you know, Reggie Bush, his favorite player, you know, and Christian McCaffrey and so many other players that he just really looked up to. And so he realizes that he has the opportunity to really, you know, make an impression on these young kids and be a good role model. And also just, you know, any chance that he has just to put a smile on their face and help them feel just as important as they are, even though they feel like he is the important one. He wants anyone he crosses paths with to feel like, no, you are important, and wants to take the time to get to know them as well. So that's how we, you know, landed on those three pillars. It's just something that's just so innately in him and something he's so passionate about. And he's just so excited to do more work.
But to see his face light up going in front of the kids, that's something that I'll take with me forever. He's one of them. Like, he, you know, he's one of them. He wants to go out there. He wants to play. He wants to give them, you know, the best opportunity that they can. You know, I think of the Austin Junior Jaguars that the foundation funded this year and how good they did. But his surprise visit to them meant so much to them, but it meant so much to you and him as well.
Yeah, it truly did. He realizes that, you know, small things like that can just go so far. So he really just makes sure he takes the time to do it, but not just do it, but give it his all and really make them feel like they are the most important thing that he's done today.
Have you had time, you know, since NIL, since the draft, since, you know, workouts before the draft, now, you know, now rookie season is done. Have you had time to, like, pause and think of just what you've gone through?
Good question. No. The answer is no. It just seems like ever since I told him, you know, last week, you know, once the season came to an end, I was like, now is your time to just pause. You know, not, I was like, you've really been going since you declared for the draft. I was like, actually, let's take that back. You've been going since fall ball of your last, you know, college season. You haven't stopped. Went through the season, immediately declared, then you're training for the combine, then you go to the combine, then you're waiting for the draft. Like, it's, and then you're here, then you go to training camp, and then you have your season. Like, and then you're moving. Like, it's been nonstop. So I'm really excited for him to get the opportunity to pause. But I feel like I've had that opportunity, especially, you know, right now, just like thinking through all that we've been through over the last year and also realizing I was on social media watching some of the Texas players commit to the draft and just thinking, like, this time last year, we were there. Like, wow, it's been a year already. This is crazy. So just, you know, sitting back and thinking, also like being reminded of that video that happened, you know, last April, it's just like, wow, this did happen. And we've been living just on go, 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 that you don't necessarily have the moment to stop and be like, this is where we are. This is where we are. This is what he gets to do. And also just so proud of, you know, his rookie season and how he performed and how he really, you know, proved, you know, all that, you know, people were expecting of him. It's just so proud. So, now is the moment to pause. So we are really looking forward to it.
I think, you know, from being in the industry for what now, 15 years for myself, looking around at, you know, the athletes that we've been fortunate enough to work with, the importance of having someone like you that is truly looking out for their best interest and is truly creating that team. Mm-hmm. That can 100% support them so that they can go do and be the best version of themselves is so important. And like you said earlier, it's rare, your position within NFL. But I think for those athletes that I've seen that has succeeded both on the field and off the field in whatever ways, they have that person.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important. So if you have words of wisdom to those that are coming up or to those that that are here that need some help, what would it be?
I think one thing that makes Bijan and I's relationship very unique is, I say this in the best way, I don't care what he does on the field. I love number seven, but number seven isn't my nephew. You know, Bijan is my nephew.
Yep.
And so when it comes to, there's only one real, you know, part of his career that I felt a lot of pressure and just a little anxious for him. And that was his last season playing, because I knew he had the opportunity to declare for the draft. And I just didn't want him to get hurt. I just wanted him to get to his dream. I wanted him to get to the stage and, you know, be the best, you know, viable pick in terms of running back that he could be. Like, I just wanted him. He was so close. I wanted him to see it.
Yeah.
Aside from that, I just wanted to have fun. You know, not everyone gets this opportunity. So if I can be in this position to take him, to take the stress away, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, so much of the day to day. You need to know about it. And I'm going to sit you down and I'm going to make sure you understand what's going on here. Cause sometimes you trust me a little bit too much. But if I can, you know, take some of that load off of him so that he can just have fun, that makes it all worth it. And then, you know, there's so much of Bijan that the world hasn't even seen yet. That if he decided to stop playing football right now, he'd still be very successful in other things. You know, he loves music. He loves acting and is good at it. There's so many different facets to him that, you know, football is just something that he does, and he does really, really well. And he, thank God, you know, he's had the opportunity to play at a high level, but there's so much more to Bijan that the world hasn't seen. And I'm excited to be in a role that I get to help him share himself on different levels and in different facets, aside from just being incredible at football and being number seven on the field.
But I think too, you not only shine the different aspects of him to everybody, but you also help protect and keep his private stuff his private stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I think that's phenomenal and amazing. And I think more, I've told you this from day one, more people need a Clarissa in their life.
I appreciate it so much. And you know, a lot can come with this world. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of expectations. You know, people, you know, once they start to kind of idolize, you know, their favorite football player, their favorite celebrity, there's all these expectations of who they should be and what they should do. And to be honest, it's just, you know, he's a human being. He's 21 years old. He'll be 22 here in a few days. Like, I just want him to have fun. Just enjoy it. Don't worry about the comments. Don't worry about how people feel. Just, you know, just live. And, you know, with God being, you know, the ultimate person that he wants to please with his life, like, the rest is just.
Yeah.
It's all about that.
I always say they eat, sleep, and poop like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. So true.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, he does football well, and he does giving back well. And obviously, we're on the Athletes Doing Good podcast. So we have to ask, what does Athletes Doing Good mean to you?
You know, there are so many athletes doing good. I think we're in a world these days where some of the negative stuff gets highlighted more than the good gets highlighted. And I just think there's so many athletes out here that are using their platforms for good, you know, really trying to make an impact. I love when Christmas time comes around and you see every player doing some kind of give back initiative, which is just so special to show, like, in a time where, you know, it's all about giving, they're making sure that they're doing so as well. I think just beyond what the good they can do on the field, there's so much they can do off the field. And I'm just so excited that so many athletes are taking the time to really foster who they are off the field and really build brands for themselves so that people recognize them outside of their stats. And there's so many different ways that athletes are doing that. And I think the impact that athletes are really, you know, honing in and trying to make is huge.
That's awesome. We know that athletes can utilize their platform to do good because of people like you in the background.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.